The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On the Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord." The opening prayer in the Mass says that we will be prevented from stumbling. All of you have stumbled physically. So have I. One of the reasons why is because there is something in our way when we're walking, and we don't see that. So we kick that with our foot, then we stumble and we tumble over. We've all done that. And as you get older, it's more dangerous because if you fall, you could easily break your hip. Well, this can be used in a spiritual sense. I think we all have to ask ourselves this question: what are the stumbling blocks in our spiritual life? And everyone has to pray to the Holy Spirit to help us to see what it would be. What would be your major stumbling block in your spiritual life? So pray over that today. We all have these spiritual stumbling blocks, and we have to try to remove that so that we can hasten, as the opening prayer says, to the promise that awaits us, which is heaven. Okay, the first reading is very, very rich. There's a lot there. But I would take one idea from it, and it's this: that we should strive for unity. Strive for unity. You have to work on that, and it's not easy. St. Augustine gives it a definition of peace. Peace is the tranquility of order. When there's unity, there's order. All those who are dedicated to music know that one discordant note can ruin the music, right? Any catechist here, or those who have taught catechism, if you're teaching a class of 10 children or teenagers, and if one of them is disruptive, it ruins the whole class. I've taught for 40 years. More than that, really. If you have one student that's a discordant note, he ruins a class. So what would John Bosco do? Get rid of him. Get rid of him. And if you don't get rid of him, it's a lack of charity toward the other children that want to learn. You're not being mean-spirited or lacking in compassion. On the contrary, you're doing this so that you can save and educate the others. So I could give you many examples of this point. But often also in the family, there's one person that's causing problems. So say, for example, you've got a family of four kids, and one is causing problems. You have to try to take them apart and try to see what the problem is. Otherwise, he's going to be destroying the harmony of the rest of the family. Okay, let's take this to a higher level now. Okay, the Catholic Church now is going through very, very tough times. Maybe the most difficult time in the history of the Church. We're going through very tough times, and one of the primary reasons is because there's a lack of unity. There's a lack of unity. Pope Benedict, even when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, spoke about the dictatorship of moral relativism. What is the dictatorship of moral relativism? Everyone is gonna do his own thing. Scott Hahn calls it cafeteria Catholicism. Everyone does his own thing. So we have to pray for unity within the local church, unity within the domestic church, which is the family, and unity within the universal church. And the best way to do this is for us to read through the writings of the popes, read through their writings, read through Vatican II, read through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, try to understand it, and try to put it into practice. So the ultimate source of unity in the Church is faithfulness to the magisterium of the Church as well as to the papacy. Do you hear me? That's why everyone is going in his own direction. You can't do that. You can't do that. And I can apply this to everything. Apply this to a baseball team. If you got someone that's causing tension in the baseball team, that could ruin the whole team. Or in the army, say for example you've got a troop of soldiers, you got one. For example, the fact that the government now wants to allow women to be active in service, that's gonna ruin our country. Right? It's gonna ruin our country. That's gonna debilitate the army, and we're not gonna win. So this first reading is very rich, but I glean from it the importance of seeking unity. Maybe you've heard the phrase that the chain is as strong as the weakest link. So you've got a chain that has 10 links. 9 of them are iron, 1 is of cardboard. What's going to happen? Got one link is of cardboard, what's going to happen? You pull it, it's going to come apart. So the unifying force, as Paul says, is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, the gospel, you read the gospel, it's tough. Probably none of you have really ever done this. But think about this. Okay, tomorrow's November. November, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Maybe for Thanksgiving, you can invite someone to your Thanksgiving meal that is poor, marginalized, maybe rejected, maybe not very attractive, maybe not well-dressed, maybe unkempt, maybe with the hair disheveled, maybe he's got bad breath. Hey, think about it. I mean, did you hear the gospel? Were you listening? Well, that's what Jesus is saying. I'm trying to give you more details, but that's basically what he's saying. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I think we have to try to take the gospel seriously. Maximilian Kolbe said that the saints do not water down the gospel or dilute the gospel, but they really try to put the gospel in practice. Okay, I'd like to end then giving you a little anecdote from the life of a modern saint who put this into practice. His name is Saint Alberto Hurtado. He was a Chilean Jesuit priest that died of pancreatic cancer when he was about 51 years old. And if you do speak Spanish, one of the best movies of saints has been made of him. And it's called Crónica de un Hombre Santo. Excellent. Crónica, Chronicles of a Holy Man. One of my favorite scenes is that Father Hurtado really tried to put the social doctrine of the church into practice. In other words, he had read Rerum Novarum, which was the document by Pope Leo XIII, on the social teaching of the church. And he really wanted to put this into practice. So what he did was, it was kind of like a John Bosco. He opened up these homes for the orphans, the widows, the abandoned. And if you ever go to Chile, you'll find throughout the whole country, Hogar de Cristo, home of Christ, spread throughout the whole country. But one of the scenes is this, that the government feels that he is a social reactionary, that he's disquieting the social peace. So all these rumors are going against him. So the police rush into one of his homes. And what they do is they peek through the keyhole. And what they see him doing, he's with these elderly, abandoned people. He's bending over and he's ladling out soup for an old woman who can barely fend for herself. There he is. He's bending over a cauldron of soup, and he's ladling out soup to give to this poor woman. The policeman, seeing this in the keyhole, leaves. Then afterward, Father Hurtado tells the poor people there, "I apologize to you because we're not giving you the best quality soup, but it's the best we can give." He says, "Will you forgive me?" He says it a second time. "Will you forgive me?" And they say, "Sí, Padre. Sí, Padre." Here's a man that put into practice this gospel. He gathered the poor, the abandoned, the crippled, the marginalized, the orphans, the widows, and he served them. Like Mother Teresa. So let's pray for the grace not to be complacent and comfortable. So let's pray for the grace to take the gospel seriously. Take the gospel seriously and put it into practice. This is the key to salvation. Amen.